Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. We're approaching 8:13 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Welcome to our second hour of Galesburg Live this morning. I'm Will Stevenson. In our first hour, you again heard from the Knox County Health Department and the environmental health staff as summer wraps up for them, and all kinds of festivals and events where they'll be pretty darn busy over the summer making sure all the food you get at festivals and events is safe and good and is well protected and follows regulations and that sort of thing. So I thought this hour we might keep on the summer theme, but maybe we'll get a little broad with that as well, because I am pleased to join and have joined me in the studio the Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of Galesburg, Tony Oligny-Estill, who will talk about all things related to his department. Good morning. Thanks for coming in, Tony.
Thanks, Will. Thanks for having me today.
Very glad to have you. I don't think we've had you on this broadcast before, so it's good to have you for an extended period of time talk about Parks and Rec, for sure.
Yeah, I'd love it.
How long have you been with the city now?
3.5 years now.
Talk to me, for folks who may not know that much about you, about your little bit about your background and what led you to come to Galesburg as the city transitioned from having a division that was, I think, if I remember right, part of Public Works in some way or another to end up being its own separate department. What led you down this path to here, if you will?
Sure. So, I'll give you the shorter version, but
I got an hour, Tony. Take all the time you want.
Well, let's say I was born in 1970. Right out of college, I became a hall director.
Yeah.
Full time. And one of my ancillary jobs, because doing hall directing isn't full time all by itself.
Hall directing meaning?
I lived in the residence halls college campuses, and I kind of dealt with the students that lived in those buildings. But I ran the intramural program. At Lawrence University, actually, up in Appleton, Wisconsin.
A fine opponent of Knox College here in the Midwest Conference, I believe.
Yes, it is. When I was doing that, all my colleagues were like, you should go back to school and get a degree in Parks and Rec. I'm like, what the heck is that? That sounds like it doesn't really exist. But I took their advice. I went to the U of I down in Champaign-Urbana, got my master's. At that time, it was called Leisure Studies. thankfully, they changed the name to Recreation, Sport, and Tourism now.
Yeah, good idea, yeah. I think. That sounds like Leisure Studies kind of sounds like, you take 4 years of basically blow-off classes and you hope you get a degree.
I always say it's we learned how to tie up hammocks and then swing and sleep in them.
That's a very important skill to have if you can get away with it, I tell you. So it sounds like you had one idea in mind of where you thought your career path in life may go, and then it you kind of stopped midstream and changed that up a little bit.
Yeah, I was definitely going into higher education and then kind of changed gears there. I've played sports my entire life, and so really passionate about that. When I finished my program at the U of I, and my emphasis was in sport management, I actually got a job at the Champaign Park District, starting with their youth sports. Kind of worked my way up through the Champaign Park District. I was there 17 years.
Wow.
On the recreation side, did pretty much everything from facility management, special events, aquatics, like everything, except cultural arts was the only thing I didn't do there. But then I got up to a management level, really didn't see any opportunity for growth at that time.
Sure.
Felt like I was ready, and, fortunately, Galesburg was hiring. So
it was one of those things where it sounds like let me back up. Outside of your friends saying, hey, you're pretty good at this, you should consider getting a degree in this, was there a moment as you were doing all of this that you said to yourself, hey, maybe this will all work out?
Honestly, never quite with that clarity.
Okay.
I was doing my stuff, and, I'll just say that in my last year as a hall director, there was some staff turmoil. That basically forced me to look for a new job. And at that point, then it was like, grad school works too.
It sounds like but it's all worked out then so far.
I've been very fortunate that every part of my career has just happened I haven't tried really hard to get to anywhere I am. It's just always worked out for me.
I totally relate to that. It's been kind of the same way for me, even though I've come back to this radio station three times. So, you know, you think you figure something out, at least in my case, and then you go back to what you think kind of worked before, and now here I am. So what attracted you to the position in Galesburg?
We were just talking off air, but, when I was doing my interviewing here, community smaller than Champaign, thought it was a great opportunity for myself to grow in this field and really get my feet wet at that, upper management level. But I really felt like the community was really primed for really some significant changes. I'll just stick with the Parks and Rec, but in the Park and Rec area, Larry Cox, the new city alderman, one of them, was the interim director of Parks and Recreation. But as you alluded to, it was Parks was actually a division under Public Works.
I think that was something that, at least in my history with the city, I don't think a lot of people really knew or realized that it wasn't its own division already.
No. Recreation was actually under Community Development.
Yeah.
And it got broken up like 30 plus years ago. Mm-hmm. The current city manager, Todd Thompson, decided to put those two back together and make a department. Larry volunteered to be the interim director. I thought it was a great opportunity to really bring in fresh ideas and really an opportunity for change since it was a new department. There was really no history to that, recent history. And so it was kind of free, open range for me to do kind of whatever I saw.
Always usually a good way to learn and grow is when you're kind of given a little bit of free rein, yet you kind of have to deal with the government end of it and maybe having to answer questions. I imagine sometimes more than you like from the city council and others, but, they have a role and so do you, and it all ends up kind of working out in the end, I imagine.
Yeah, I can tell. Well, I have to say first, though, with all of that, it was a little shocking that about 90 plus years, actually about 120 years of experience at Galesburg in the Parks and the Rec, collectively all retired in like the first 3 years I was here.
I imagine, though, in that time, that really kind of had to help you as you were saying, getting your feet wet, having all those people with all that experience in the department.
Yeah, it definitely helps. Gives you history and kind of at least tells you why things are done the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
But within my first month, three people retired, and that was 90 of those years.
That's
of
awfully nice of them. Yeah, but hey, it's so far so good, though, right?
Oh yeah, and I gotta say, the city council has been very supportive for the most part with Parks and Rec. I mean, obviously, like anything else, they want information and the whys and that kind of stuff. But they were very eager, I think, to see some changes to Parks and Rec as well.
Absolutely, and we'll talk more about that as we go along here, but we need to take a break first. We're talking with Tony Oligny-Estill, the Parks and Rec Director for the city of Galesburg. We'll take a break, and we'll get into some of those issues. We'll talk about things going on this summer. We'll talk about the Parks and Rec Master Plan. We'll talk about that and all that and much more as we continue on this Saturday morning at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. It's 8:21. Good morning.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
At 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning. I'm glad you're with us for Galesburg Live this morning. I'm Will Stevenson. Galesburg's Evening News is my normal gig, weeknights from 5 to 6, but I'm glad, as I tend to say always, to take my turn hosting Galesburg Live. I'll actually be doing it next week as well. So if you didn't get enough of me this week, you certainly will next week, I think. Although Galesburg's Evening News is off Monday for the holiday, but my normal show will be back on Tuesday night at 5. But might as well take some time this morning getting into some issues about the Parks and Rec Department in the city of Galesburg with Tony Oligny-Estill, the Director of Parks and Rec for the city of Galesburg. You kind of mentioned these last couple of years, there's maybe been a combination of your experience combined with a bit of a learning curve and having some city staff maybe get you going in the right direction before they bid you adieu. But what have you learned about in a broad sense, the Parks and Rec system in the city, while it's been two different, as we talked about, two different divisions for a long time, Parks and Recreation, I think that all in all, while there's always room for improvement, I think we've probably had a not so bad system in place here.
No, not at all. I think the community as a whole really enjoy the Parks and Rec system. Mm-hmm. You know, when I got here, everyone, even strangers on the street, when they found out who I was, everyone told me how great the parks are.
Yeah.
And we do the parks staff do an excellent job maintaining the parks and, you know, all of that. Recreation-wise, the programs that we do run, I think people really enjoy them. And they've been done very well for a long time. I think, you know, what I found, though, is that we're really limited. We offer quite a bit, but we only had two staff.
Wow.
Yeah. Really, two full-time programmers. And so they're putting in incredible hours. And everybody, I think, that listens to your show knows who Elizabeth Varner is.
Yes, absolutely. If you don't know who Elizabeth Varner is, I really can't help you, for sure.
You just must have moved in town, like, last week or something. Yeah. But and obviously, she was incredible. And
she's amazing.
With the recreation division / department for 30 plus years, put in countless hours doing so many things. And so when she retired, you know, it's kind of she was an amazing woman. And but I don't know that anybody could put in the hours that she put in and be sane. And so, you know, we had to kind of look at all the things that we did, you know, make a few changes and tweaks where we felt needed. And, you know, like anything else, over 30 plus years, you know, everything needs to be spruced up a little bit. So,
and we'll have a little more time to get into a lot of that, especially as we talk about the master plan, which we'll do in our next segment here in a few minutes. But one of the things I've talked about over the years with, like, say, the Chamber of Commerce and the Convention and Visitors Bureau is kind of, and forgive me if I take off sort of my news hat for a second, I've always kind of found it a little ridiculous when I hear people say, oh, there's nothing to do in Galesburg, and there's nothing for kids to do in Galesburg. Do you ever hear that? And if so, how do you kind of, how do you kind of combat that negativity? Because there is a lot to do in Galesburg, and a lot of that is handled by your department.
Yeah. So, yes, I hear that quite often, pretty much everywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. There's a ton of things to do in Galesburg. The problem is that a lot of organizations, including our own, and we're working on this, don't advertise and market very well.
Sure.
And so and there's really – although the chamber is trying to deal with this, there isn't really one place to go to find out kind of what's going on this weekend or whatever.
I highly recommend the community events calendar at WGIL.com, and I'm not just saying that because I'm in charge of it or anything.
But really, the city as well is trying to use that and really try to drive everybody to one location.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as the consumer, even when I moved here, like my daughter at the time was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to search really hard to find stuff to do, so we had to invest the time to find the things to do. There was plenty to do. We just had to go look for it.
Yeah. Well, and while there's nothing wrong with doing that, I think we probably live in a world where it's probably not all that people maybe aren't as willing to do a lot of the homework as maybe they used to be. And that's not good or bad. It's the reality of what it is.
Exactly. And so, you know, with kind of the society with wanting immediate gratification kind of thing, like if they can't just find it instantly, then they just don't do it. So, mm-hmm. And we're working on that as well. But yeah, I mean, there's a ton of free things to do in the city, even through the Parks and Rec Department, that people aren't aware of. I mean, we have a disc golf course.
Yeah.
Right. We have a dog park. We have a skate park. The beach is free to swim. We're adding a volleyball court out there this spring.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For sand volleyball. So, you know, all those things. But then again, if you don't live by those areas or, you know, that sort of thing, a lot of the community don't know that we have those features.
And if you don't tell people about it, you know, it's all never going to work. I have about a minute and a half before I need to take a break. So mm-hmm. Of all the things, this would probably be a question I would completely end the program with, but of all the things that the Parks and Rec Department puts out, what's your favorite? What do you like to do, and what does your family like to do when you have downtime?
Well,
and I'm going to try to ignore the fact that you're wearing a Cubs shirt on a station that carries St. Louis Cardinals baseball. But
that's, yeah, I got to make sure everything's balanced.
Yeah, I understand. Right? Oh, yeah. I understand that. We like balance here, despite popular belief.
Really quickly, probably my favorite event is the Daddy Daughter Princess Ball.
Oh,
just because
yes.
I have a daughter, and so that's always been one of my favorite events everywhere I've lived.
That's a fantastic and one of those things. I never realized that so many cities did something like that till I've moved around a number of times in my career. That's got to be a pretty special moment for you and your kid, right?
It is, and to see all the dads out there trying to dance is pretty hysterical.
Yeah, I can imagine that. But you don't have to really try very hard when you have a young girl that doesn't really know how to dance yet either. So yeah. There you go.
Yep.
We're talking with Tony Oligny-Estill, the Parks and Recreation Director for the City of Galesburg. It's 8:30, so we'll break for news and weather here. When we come back, I want to get into the Parks and Recreation Master Plan and how things will be changing in the Parks and Rec Department in that regard over the next few years. We'll have that and more coming up.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. We're approaching 8:35 at WGIL as the second hour of Galesburg Live continues on this Saturday morning, May 25th. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us this morning. Our conversation in our first hour with the environmental health staff at the Knox County Health Department and this hour's conversation will both be available on WGIL.com after we close the program today. So if you missed anything we talked about, they will be there. And we'll also link to the Parks and Rec page as well in that section as you'll go to WGIL.com. Scroll down to On Air Conversations and you'll find our interviews this morning, including right now as we continue with Tony Oligny-Estill, the Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of Galesburg. Thanks again for coming in. You've in the first couple of years, you've embarked here now on a master plan to kind of see what you need to do and what can be improved and those sorts of things. What kind of led you down that path to decide that you needed to do that, first of all?
Well, we haven't had a master plan for about 25 years, mm-hmm. And that used to be kind of the way that things used to work back in the day. But in today's environment, master plans are generally 5 to 10 years long.
Oh, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Because everything's changing so fast. But another big reason to have a master plan is there's a lot of grants that we're able to apply for, but a number of them require that we have a master plan, an active mm-hmm. master plan.
Sure.
So.
I won't dwell on it. There was a lot of time and effort that went into developing the plan and even getting public input and things like that in the plan. So ultimately, can you kind of give me a snapshot of some of the things that came out of the Parks and Rec Master Plan, which the City Council I know approved here and, well, approved to put on the record a few months ago?
Yeah. So some of the things that the community most wanted, one was maintaining what we have. I know that maintenance of our facilities and different park areas can use some improvement. I know paths, bike paths, walking paths was really high on that list. And then some kind of recreational amenity. I know the Minchur Golf Course was high on that list. It was, I think, the only recreational amenity, though, that specifically mentioned. But really, really what I think the community wanted, though, was something new, right?
In terms of maintaining what you had, though, I know from different things that have happened over the years here in the city, the things like, say, the pool at Hawthorne or even the water slide at Lake Story, which I imagine is won't be in operation this year. I imagine that those sorts of things have been awfully difficult to try to tackle, and especially when something breaks, that can kind of throw all of your plans into a rye, can't it?
For sure. I mean, tough decisions will have to be made moving forward, where to really spend our resources that has the most impact to the community. Hawthorne Pool obviously is an aging facility. It was built in, I think, around 1944.
Yeah.
There hasn't been the city didn't acquire it until much, much later, but mm-hmm. I don't know that anybody over that whole span of time put really any maintenance into it. The water slide at the beach, that's been closed for the last couple of years as well. But some of the ways to, that we're looking to combat some of the general maintenance issues. We are trying to develop a maintenance plan for our facilities. We are, and again, kudos to the city council, but they have actually given the Parks and Rec Department, although we have no specific funding for capital projects, like, you know, sewer tax and gas tax and those sort of things. They have given money to Parks and Rec significantly more probably than we've gotten probably in the 30 years prior to deal with some of these issues.
I would imagine, did things like with, like, say, Lake Story come up in the master plan after all? That's been, I think, a point of, I don't want to say contention the last number of years, especially as you decide whether or not to staff the beach, for example, and the concession stands and the operation of the pavilion and things like that. Where does an area that is to some people that important, where does that come in this plan?
Sure. You know, one of the recommendations in the master plan is to build a marina out at Lake Story. You know, really try to revitalize that area. We're taking baby steps. As I mentioned, we're putting in sand volleyball court this spring. It should be in hopefully in the next couple weeks if it's not there already. Just the weather's really slowed us down.
Oh, obviously. I can imagine. Yeah.
It slowed everybody down. You know, so we want to bring back some of the amenities there. And but, you know, it's going to be a slow process, we're trying to get there.
Do you see a day where people either question or not question whether or not there should be lifeguards at the beach, for example? Is that something that's being thought of, or is that sort of a status quo type of a thing here for a while?
Yeah. At this time, you know, when that decision was made, and I made that decision really for safety issues, and I know that sounds weird, not having lifeguards as a safety issue, but it's one of those situations that, and I guess this goes to anybody that has a job. If you don't utilize those skills every day, it's really hard to stay, you know, good at what you do.
Oh, sure.
And because of the weather that we have, our lifeguards were only out there 2 days a week. If they were scheduled on that particular weekend.
Oh, sure.
And then if they were missed, you know, for rain or whatever. And that really put a lot of strain on the lifeguards to be top-notch at their skills, because if they had to use them, right? I mean, they have to know what they're doing. And if they haven't used any skills for a month or more, right, that becomes a problem.
Oh, not to mention those are part-time jobs. You know, you can't really plan to have any sort of a life if you don't know whether or not you're going to be working, right?
Yeah. So, but outside the initial decision, actually it's given more freedom out there at the beach, because now, you know, when we guarded, it was only open Friday, Saturday, Sunday for a period of time. Now it's open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. So it gives more swimming time. We still have the rope out there for the swimming area, although we are going to expand that this summer to enlarge the swimming area.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's great. I just wanted to touch on that. I wasn't going to dwell on that for sure, but I know that every time somebody mentions Lake Story and beach, somebody wonders, oh, why are they doing this, or why are they not doing that, or whatever. But and actually, maybe I'll just segue here in a minute in terms of the beach, and I want to talk about this more later. This is kind of the weekend where really sort of everything gets underway, although, gosh, it's such a nice day today. I don't know why you wouldn't want to go outside in this weather, but imagine it's kind of a delicate sort of a balance, right, to kind of put all that together, isn't it?
It is, you know.
And I think I just blocked myself into a corner the way I was asking that question. So I meant to bring that up in terms of some of the amenities, as you mentioned, that you're kind of offering, like the sand volleyball, and I know you're offering some boat and kayak rentals and those sorts of things out there now.
Sure. I mean, we've always done canoes and jon boats and paddle boats out there, but we purchased kayaks, and those are available for rent this year as well.
More and more of my friends kayaking either on the lake or elsewhere, so that's becoming, it seems like, more and more popular, isn't it?
Oh yeah. It's a lot easier to do, actually, than people think it is. If you've never done it before, literally the only way you tip over is because you want to tip over.
I don't know about that. I don't know. You've seen me try to operate a boat, but
well, we'll have to get you out there sometime.
No, you don't. but no, I think that's a good thing that you're able to expand some of that while trying to keep things, safe but yet fun for people.
Too. Right. And so we've done some small things. We added more sand this year, just to build up the beach area. Obviously, like I said, the sand volleyball court, and there's a plan to add a second one if we can get things going out there.
That's great.
We even tried to offer a sand volleyball league this summer. That didn't take off this year, but we'll keep trying. And then with the addition of kayaks and I really think the kayak thing is going to take off. And so if enough people do that, we'll probably end up buying more. So there'll be more available out there as well.
That's great. In terms of also of the Parks and Rec Master Plan, and as long as I'm thinking about Lake Story, I know that you're looking to do a little bit of expansion on the main path that goes around a portion of the park and the beach area and things like that, right?
Yeah, actually, we've applied for two different grants this year. One to expand the existing pathway and really try to make the existing pathway 10 feet wide all over. Very good chance of acquiring that grant. We would start at the East Boat Ramp. That's the oldest portion of the path. Start from there and just work our way west.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything pretty much from the west of the pavilion is pretty wide, but we need to get to there. So that's one. And then we should know this year, and if we get that grant, the work probably would be done this fall. The other grant that we're applying for is called an ITEP grant through Department of Transportation or the Division of Transportation. That would be to add an entire bike path along South Lake Story Road.
That's great.
I know we've tried this a couple times before, I believe in 2013 and 16. We didn't get the grant in those years, but the focus of the grant has changed, which really puts it in line with what we're trying to do. And so the idea would be we would go all the way from Henderson all the way to West Lake Story Road and connect it right to the path. So you'd be able to go all the way around.
And boy, that path between bikers and walkers, though, certainly does get used quite a bit, doesn't it?
It does a lot.
That's great. Other things in terms of the Parks and Rec Master Plan, I know recently, and we've reported on and I think that, to me, this is the most important part of the plan. You're kind of looking at, in terms of parks, or at least things with playgrounds mm-hmm. in them, perhaps, you're kind of looking at maybe taking a different focus of that and making sure that, if I understand this right, almost every neighborhood or every maybe quadrant, if you will, of the city has a park within a reasonable distance of most residences. I think that's a great thing to think about.
Yeah, so kind of the benchmark national standards that there's a playground within a half a mile walk from every resident. Through the master plan, we were able to determine that there were two locations in Galesburg that don't meet that benchmark.
Hmm.
One is in the Lombard area.
Yeah.
And so we did receive some funding to help build a playground, and so we're actually in that process right now. Just ordered the equipment. The bid for a contractor is out right now, but we're going to put a playground, and actually the first fully accessible playground in Galesburg.
That's amazing.
So it'll have pour-and-play surfacing under the main climbing structure. It'll have a wheelchair swing, expression swings. It'll have a wheelchair rocker in there. In addition, though, we're going to have the first ever challenge course in Western Illinois.
I'm intrigued by this. Not that I think I could ever actually complete it without needing to take a nap halfway through, but this is cool.
Yeah, the challenge course is a combination of for those NFL geeks like myself that watch the NFL Combine, some of the stuff that they do at the Combine, agility drills, and they use some dummies for that kind of stuff. So part of it's that kind of stuff, and part of it's American Ninja Warrior type
right.
stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a combination of those, but it's a course that it's really designed for teens and above, but talking to the manufacturer, pretty much anybody that can walk finds a way to participate on this course, and they just do the elements how they can do them.
There you go, yeah.
But there's an app as well that you can download, and then you can time yourself and your friends. And so I really see this as something that will be very engaging to a lot of the community.
It seems like on the surface that having a playground at a junior high would on itself seem kind of unusual, but in terms of having the space and the location and things like that, it's otherwise perfect, isn't it?
Well, and keep in mind too that
excuse me, sure.
with the schools renovation plans as well. Lombard, in a couple of years, will be fifth and sixth grade.
Yeah.
So that kind of fits exactly to the age group of the stuff that we'll have out there.
And I'm glad you mentioned the school district, too, because as much as the city is maybe footing most of the bill for this, the district has stepped up, too, because they also see the need for something like this.
Yeah. And so in terms of cost sharing, it's about two-thirds city and one-third school district.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really good partnership, I think. And, you know, the school district will have access to it while school's in session, and the community will have access to it when the school's either out for the day or on weekends or during breaks and stuff. So,
what's sort of the timeline for getting that done? Is that going to start to be put up here soon?
Yeah, I believe the bids for contractors is due next week, I believe.
Okay.
And so, the end result is the playground should be done August 1st.
Great.
There'll be a little more construction. The school district's going to put up a fence around it and some sidewalks and stuff, but it'll be open by the school year.
In terms of the overall idea of having parks that close to people, what's next in that regard? As you said, there were two areas where you were seriously looking at.
The other area, and I don't remember the name of the subdivision, I'm sorry, but it's right. Kind of south of the Hy-Vee on North Henderson.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Back in that area. But there's actually no land. It's all developed. There's a house pretty much in every lot.
Mm.
So, but we're definitely keeping watch, and you know, if anything changes. But that's kind of the other area that doesn't meet our requirements there.
Yeah, I imagine though you're not super far away from things like Lake Story and maybe other parks in that area, but certainly farther away than you would probably prefer.
Yeah, I believe they're like 0.7 miles, so they're not within that half a mile, but because Gill School parking playground is right there,
right,
fairly close as well. But mm-hmm. But some other things that we're looking at, we still have a number of playgrounds to renovate, so that'll probably be my next big push.
I was joking with somebody the other day about this, so I'll ask this question this way in jest, of course. You mean to tell me that going down a scalding hot metal slide in the middle of summer is no longer safe?
Oh, no. I mean, we all did that as kids, right? It's a rite
of
passage, isn't it?
It is a rite of passage. It's exactly my point. But you know, yeah. I imagine it's probably hard to keep up with things like that, especially as safety regulations and things like that get improved. I can't imagine how difficult that is.
Yeah. And again, I mean, that's one of those things that that's one of those areas that I think when there was no actual department, those are the kind of things that fell through the cracks.
Oh, sure.
And so, you know, try and develop a plan, kind of a replacement plan for all of the playgrounds. And so, you know, my idea, if I can get this to work out funding wise, obviously, is with the additional Lombard, we'll have 18 playgrounds. And so
we would
update or modernize them every 18 years.
That's fantastic. I need to take a break, but before I do, just kind of, and I didn't get in as deep into the master plan as I'd wanted to because I put up my own roadblocks in this discussion, but what sorts of other things are you looking at doing in terms of what else is in the master plan that maybe folks need to know about?
Sure. Well, one program that we rolled out, kind of really low key, but is the Adopt a Park program.
Yeah.
So different individuals or community members or organizations can adopt a park, kind of like adopt a street. And, you know, they clean the park once a month. They look for vandalism, maintenance issues. They just report those. Right now, we have 22 parks, and 9 of them have been adopted already.
That's great.
And so if anybody has interest in that, please just call me over at City Hall.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. I very much appreciate that, especially because as some people, I think, as frankly, as I've said before, unnecessarily negative about the city, there are a lot of community organizations that really step up when there's a need and when there's something to be done to help the community. They certainly do step up, don't they?
Oh, definitely. In this community, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. It is 8:52. I need to take one more break. We're talking with Tony Eligny-Estill, the Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of Galesburg. Coming up on 8:56 at WGIL, this is Galesburg Live. We have just a couple of minutes left to talk with Tony Eligny-Estill, the Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of Galesburg. And I noted as of this weekend, Tony, that, it is Memorial Day weekend, and that's usually when the beach opens and more activities start to come about. That whole Memorial Day to Labor Day period is pretty key for you guys, isn't it?
That's generally our busiest time, yep.
Yeah. So everything is pretty much open as of today, right? Well, if it wasn't so darn nice out, maybe.
Yeah, so in between the raindrops, yeah, this is the opening weekend for Lakeside Splash Zone, our outdoor water park. And there are a little bit of changes because school is going on a few extra weeks there. But so we're generally open 12 to 6. Okay. And then while school is in session on school days, we'll be open 3 to 6 in the afternoons.
Great.
The beach is open effectively today. Start this morning at, like I said, 8 to 7 for swimming. And boat rentals are from 12 to 6.
If somebody wants to rent a boat, by the way, or those new kayaks or things like that, what do they do? Do they just go up to the concession stand there, or how does that work?
Yep, go to the concession stand, and I think we hold an ID, and I think the boats are $8 per hour.
Great, that's fantastic. What else do you have happening?
Let's see, we do a second Saturday nature program, so June 8th is the next one. That is also free over at the Nature Center at Lakeside. Our nature camp registration, McDonald's tennis program, swim lessons, all those registrations are going on along with swim team registration. And then like summertime, right? So our shelters are available. Bunker Links is open. And then if you want to spend extra time outside, the campground is always a nice place to go out.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And again, I don't think people always realize that there are so many of these amenities that are little to no cost for anybody, really. It's you really got to get out and take advantage of them.
You do. Oh, and no cost. I forgot to mention those. The splash pads open today. And unfortunately, not all the wading pools were able to get open. We had a couple issues with a couple of them, but they
never fails, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. But they will be open hopefully here by the end of next week.
All right. I imagine you keep up to date on the city's website and social media and things like that, I trust?
Facebook, if you want the kind of the most updated stuff, Facebook is the way to reach us. Recreation has their own Facebook site, City Galesburg Recreation, I believe it is.
Oh, great. Yep.
Yep.
All right. And how can folks get a hold of the Parks and Rec Department?
Lakeside is Recreation Facility is open 8:30 to 5 Monday through Friday. You can call out there at 345-3683.
All right.
Or just stop out.
Tony Olignestel, Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of Galesburg. Thanks for your time. Thanks for coming in. And thanks for all that Parks and Rec do for our community.
Well, thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us today on Galesburg Live. I'll see you next Saturday morning, and I'll be back Tuesday night at 5 for Galesburg's Evening News. Have a terrific weekend. Today's homeowner is next on WGIL.